Okay, so imagine this, right? You're like really deep in the markets, things are going great. Maybe you're feeling, I don't know, almost invincible. And then bam, suddenly you're down like $700,000.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, you heard that right, $700,000. That's the scenario we're kind of diving into today.
Yeah.
And trust me, this isn't just for, like the finance people out there.
Right.
What we're really unpacking here are these kind of raw human lessons from someone who lived through this very real financial roller coaster
Yeah.
and came out the other side, honestly, with some really, really insightful takeaways, I think.
It's amazing how these, major life events, even when they seem so negative, right, on the surface,
Totally.
can actually reveal so much about ourselves and offer a roadmap for growth, really in any area of life, you know?
100%. And we're dissecting a source that's less of a how to invest manual and more like a brutally honest like postmortem of this market loss.
Yeah.
The vulnerability is actually kind of refreshing.
Right.
It's no sugarcoating. It's just pure unfiltered reflection. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely.
And the first lesson, well, it's something we've probably all experienced at some level, right?
Probably.
Be grateful to take a loss while it's still small.
This resonated with me too because it speaks to such a common psychological trap
Oh yeah.
that trips us up, not just in finance, but like in all areas of life, right?
Yeah.
It's called the sunk cost fallacy.
Ooh, yeah, that sounds familiar. Break that down for us. What does that mean?
Okay, so picture this. You've invested, let's say, $10,000 in a stock,
Okay.
and it's down a bit, but you're convinced it's going to bounce back. You've done your research,
Okay.
but then it drops further. So now you're faced with a choice.
Yeah.
Do you cut your losses and walk away,
Right.
or do you double down, hoping to recover what you've?
Oh, I've been there. You start justifying it in your head. Well, I've already put in this much. I might as well.
Exactly.
It's like that, like gambler's mentality, you know?
Precisely. Our brains, they just hate admitting defeat. We fixate on what we've already invested,
Yeah.
the sunk cost, rather than the potential for future losses.
Right.
And this applies to so much more than just money,
Yeah,
right?
for sure.
Think about a project at work that's clearly going nowhere,
Yeah.
but you've already poured hours into it.
Oh, tell me about it. Or a relationship, right? Like that's lost its spark, but you're clinging to, all these years you've already put in.
Exactly.
Ouch, yeah. That one hits a little too close to home. So how do we break free from this sunk cost trap?
It's about shifting our perspective.
Okay.
So instead of focusing on what we've already lost, we need to ask ourselves, knowing what I know now, would I make the same investment again?
That's a good question.
And if the answer is no, it's time to cut our losses,
Even if it's hard.
even if it's painful. And move on to better opportunities.
That's way easier said than done, though, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Especially when, you've got emotions all mixed in there.
Of course, it takes practice, self-awareness, and a real willingness to challenge our own assumptions. But the payoff is huge. It frees us from clinging to those bad decisions, and it allows us to direct our energy towards more promising endeavors.
Love it. Yeah. And that leads us perfectly into this next lesson, which is, well, it's kind of a reality check. Huge losses will show you who you really are.
Ooh, that's a good one.
Right.
Yeah.
This one's all about self-discovery, even if it comes at a price, right?
It's true.
And the author talks about how this massive financial loss, it exposed their flaws, things like overconfidence, maybe lack of discipline, and even honestly, maybe even a little touch of denial. It's like that saying, pressure makes diamonds, right? But in this case, it's revealing those kind of rough edges, that need a little bit of polishing.
Exactly. We all have weaknesses, but it's so easy to ignore them when things are going well,
Oh,
right?
totally.
It's when we face adversity that those weaknesses get magnified, forcing us to confront them head on.
You're forced to take a good hard look in the mirror.
Yeah.
Like we talked about that sunk cost fallacy,
Yeah,
right? That
yeah.
tendency to kind of like cling to those bad decisions, those bad investments, whatever it is.
Yeah.
And the idea that setbacks, even though they're tough, they can actually reveal our blind spots.
Yeah.
But what I thought was really interesting is how the author actually used these like realizations as this springboard for
Right.
action,
It's a powerful shift in mindset, moving from a place of self-blame to one of empowerment. Like they realized that even after this huge loss, they still had their knowledge. They still had their ability to learn. They still had their network.
Right.
You know?
Totally. And that seems to be kind of a recurring theme in these next few lessons, right?
Yeah.
This idea of like taking ownership, not relying on, you know, gurus or quick fixes.
Right. Right.
In fact, the author specifically called out falling prey to like a hot stock tip.
Right. And that speaks to a broader truth about, I think, knowledge and decision making.
Okay.
We live in a world that's just saturated with information.
Oh, yeah.
Right? With these so-called experts kind of like coming out of the woodwork.
Everywhere.
Offering advice on everything. But true knowledge,
yeah,
the kind that empowers you to make like sound decisions.
Yeah.
That comes from cultivating your own discernment.
You've got to think for yourself.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah.
It's not just about blindly following, you know? You've got to think critically about it.
Exactly. Think about why you're here, even listening to this deep dive.
Yeah, yeah, totally.
It's not about memorizing some list of do's and don'ts.
Right.
It's about sharpening those analytical skills so you can navigate the complexities of any field, really.
You're reading my mind.
Yeah.
And this, like, this theme of self-reliance, it actually ties into two of the lessons the author kind of groups together.
Okay.
Numbers 3 and 6.
Okay. Yeah.
And they talk about how the experience forced them to confront, like, their dependence on other people.
Right.
And to realize that ultimately they were the ones responsible.
Right.
For their own, you know, financial well-being.
Yeah. And that's such a crucial realization. And it's not just in finance, but in all aspects of life.
Totally.
Right. It's about finding that balance between seeking guidance, which is important, right?
Yeah.
We all need mentors.
For sure.
But also becoming self-reliant.
Yeah.
Developing that internal compass.
Okay. So we're seeing kind of a pattern here, right?
Yeah.
Embracing those small losses.
Right.
Confronting those flaws, like we talked about, taking ownership.
Yeah.
But now let's talk about what happens when things really hit rock bottom.
Okay.
Because surprisingly, this is where the author's story takes kind of a turn towards optimism.
Okay. Interesting.
It is really fascinating.
Okay.
What were your thoughts on that?
Well, I think this is where the power of reframing comes into play. You know, we often build up these worst case scenarios in our minds,
my
right?
God.
And that fear itself becomes so much more debilitating than the actual event.
Oh, it's like that old saying, right? We suffer more in imagination than in reality.
Exactly. Exactly. And the author actually pairs two lessons here.
Okay.
Numbers 7 and 9.
Okay.
Both about hitting rock bottom.
Yeah.
But instead of dwelling on the despair of it all.
Yeah.
They talk about this unexpected resilience that emerged.
Right. Like, they didn't just, like, you know, throw in the towel.
Exactly. They didn't declare bankruptcy. They focused on rebuilding.
They went back to the drawing board. They studied even harder.
Exactly.
They really analyzed what went wrong. It's amazing, right? They took this massive loss, $700,000, and instead of letting it crush them, they turned it into a catalyst for growth.
It's a powerful reminder that even in the darkest of times, there's always a way to rise again. And that's where the rest of the author's lessons come into play. Time, support systems, and the 99% rule.
Yeah, they didn't just sit around wallowing in despair. They took action. They invested in their education. They built stronger relationships. And they realized that most of the catastrophic scenarios they'd imagined in their heads never actually came to fruition.
That's the heart of the 99% rule, right?
Right.
We tend to overestimate the probability of negative events. It's like our brains are hardwired to focus on the worst case scenario, even when it's statistically unlikely.
So instead of wasting time and energy on anxieties that might not even happen, we should focus on what we can control. Our actions, our mindset, our ability to learn and adapt.
And that's where it gets really fascinating. It's not just about avoiding negativity. It's about embracing the power of possibility. The author realized that even after this huge loss, they still had valuable skills and knowledge that could be leveraged to rebuild their financial future.
It's like they shifted from a scarcity mindset to one of abundance. They saw the potential, even in the midst of hardship.
And that's what makes this story so inspiring for all of us, no matter what our field is. It's a reminder that we all have unique skills, knowledge, and experiences that can be leveraged for wealth creation.
Think about it. What are those strengths that you bring to the table? What skills or knowledge could you leverage to create more abundance in your own life?
It's a powerful question to ponder, and one that can lead to some truly transformative insights.
So there you have it. 9 lessons from a $700,000 loss that can make you smarter, more resilient, and more capable of achieving your goals. Until next time, keep diving deep and keep those minds engaged, folks.